Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing our graduates to hit the ground running.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Polish-born filmmaker Roman Polanski has lived a life that is its own movie, practically. Holocaust survivor, hugely successful film director, first in Poland, then France, then the U.S., husband of Manson family murder victim Sharon Tate. Then in 1977, he becomes the victimizer when he plies a 13-year-old girl with drugs and booze at Jack Nicholson's house in L.A. and rapes her. He served 45 days, then fled the country. Now, after a life on the lam and still in the limelight in Europe, he sits in a jail in Switzerland, and the California courts wait for him. Many, including former vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro, say good, he should pay. She's with us today. Others, including a long list from Hollywood and French superluminary Bernard-Henri Lévy, say let him go. He's with us as well. This hour, On Point, the transatlantic uproar over justice and the fate of Roman Polanski. We'll be joined in just a moment by Geraldine Ferraro and Bernard-Henri Lévy. But let's take a step back to the Polanski story before we wade into the debate. Joining me now from New York is David Carr, columnist and reporter for the New York Times, who covers media and culture. David Carr, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Hi, Tom.
Introduce us to this film director before we get into the sort of controversy that's swirling so hot right now. Big films behind him. Chinatown is on many people's best films of all time list, and an Academy Award with The Pianist just a few years ago.
And I think deservedly so. I think Chinatown is a movie that's going to live in the pantheon for a long, long time. The Pianist, which was a semi-autobiographical film about someone who escaped the concentration camps, which Mr. Polanski made his way out of the ghetto, won him a Best Director Award. And I think few would argue with his craft. He is among the auteurs of our generation, somewhat of a spectral presence in America because he hasn't been here for 30 years.
Was he as effective in exile, essentially in Europe, as he was in the U.S. during those years when he made his name here?
I think he would have been making movies all over the place regardless of. There was just certain countries he couldn't go to, not to the U.S., where he fled sentencing, or to the U.K., which has a really solid extradition treaty. And he was nervous as a cat in some other countries. In Germany, when he made a movie, he would come on and off the set. I don't think having an open case in the U.S. Helped his effectiveness as a filmmaker.
And what do you make of the at least initial outpouring of support from him? A couple of different streams, one from Hollywood, one from Europe. Martin Scorsese and David Lynch and Woody Allen, Harvey Weinstein, Tilda Swinton, and many, many more signing petitions saying, hey, let this guy go. What do you make of that?
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit of the backlash to the backlash. I think many people, 130 sort of Hollywood luminaries, all signed a letter saying that this was an old case. Mr. Weinstein got in trouble when he called it a so-called crime. There was nothing so-called about it. Mr. Polanski pled guilty in 1977 to sexual misconduct with the minors. So, and the particulars of the indictment allege a lot more heinous things. And I think that while Hollywood wanted to embrace him for his craft, I think the people in general, both here and abroad, have a general revulsion to some of the permissions that were granted to Mr. Polanski and allowances made for the fact that he's a great filmmaker. That what may well be true, but he did flee sentencing after making an agreement and leave the country because he felt the prosecutor wasn't going to honor the agreement that they had.
He was in for 45 days, thought it might be 90. There was talk that it might be more. Here, 32 years later, and you've got celebrity support. Here's a comedian, actress, celebrity, Whoopi Goldberg. Took a lot of heat for appearing sort of to defend Polanski on ABC's The View on Monday.
I know it wasn't rape. I'm not sure it was something else,
but I don't believe it was rape. And when we get all the information, somebody will tell me in my ear. All I'm trying to get you to understand is when we're talking about what someone did and what they were charged with, we have to say what it actually was, not what we think it was.
David Carr, you know, maybe people just don't know, including Whoopi Goldberg. There were six indictments. They were very clear. He pled guilty only to one in a kind of plea deal. But what did you hear in her wanting to call this, you know, not rape? Is that a Hollywood pass?
I heard an incredibly ditzy, ill-informed person heading to the air with not possession of the facts. I think anybody who reads the indictment or reads the pre-sentencing allegations with particulars about a 13-year-old being plied with champagne and Quaaludes, who repeatedly says no as Mr. Polanski performs oral sex, sodomy, and a series of other acts on a young woman. If that isn't rape, I don't know what it is. It's the kind of thing that makes, I think, a lot of Americans wonder whether Hollywood isn't some strange island off the coast of America.
I want to hear from a couple of big voices who have weighed in heavy on all this. David Carr, stand by if you would. Joining me right now from New York City is Geraldine Ferraro, former U.S. congressman, former candidate for the vice presidency, now a principal with Blank Rome LLP. It's a law practice lobbying firm. Geraldine Ferraro, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. But I also have to tell you that, in ways you're listing my credentials, that before I ran for Congress, I headed what was called, and I created, by the way, the first special victims unit in the country. No, NBC has not given me any money. But in addition to that, you know, I prosecuted these cases for a good 4 years for Queens County. And David is right on target with all this stuff. I think what Whoopi Goldberg, when she says it's not rape, she was trying to put into focused was the fact that it didn't seem like force, because what it is what he pleaded to was statutory rape of a having intercourse with a child who is 13 years old.
Yeah.
Is statutory rape. You don't need force, you don't need anything at all. Consent means nothing, absolutely nothing. This is the statute that is, it's literally throughout the country where people have turned around and said, don't touch our kids. Whatever you do, especially if you're over 18, you've had it. Now, in New York, if you have somebody who is 18 or 19 having sex with a 13-year-old kid, they don't go away for 45 days or 90 days. They go away for 7 years. It's a Class D felony.
Geraldine Ferraro, we're going to get your full view on this. I want to get a different view, which has drawn our eye. First, out of France, Bernard-Henri Lévy joins us from New York City, where he happens to be at the moment, writer, journalist, philosopher, public intellectual, kind of a superluminary in France, recently authored a petition signed by others, big names, Milan Kundera, Salman Rushdie, and more, which calls for Roman Polanski to be freed, to be released. Bernard-Henri Lévy, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to On Point. Why are you standing up for Roman Polanski, sir?
Hi, Tom. Glad to be back, too. I'm standing up for Roman Polanski because all this story is completely ridiculous. It is not as if Roman Polanski had escaped, was undercover since 32 years. It is not as if he was under a false name since 32 years. It is not as if somebody had refound him today. No, he was completely open. He made movies. He went in Switzerland 3 times a year to make ski with his family and his children. He was honored in America. He received an Oscar. He was praised for The Pianist, for Chinatown. And suddenly, 30 years after, all this story comes back. And there is a sort of manhunt, a witch hunt, a manhunt, a sort of lynch against this man of 76 years.
But he did flee his sentence. I mean, he did flee the country. There were initially 6 felony counts here, drugs, molesting, sodomy. And he didn't serve out his full sentence. And he didn't go to countries where he might have been extradited earlier. He carefully avoided them. I mean, he knew.
He did not avoid them.
He didn't go to Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. No, look at Switzerland. He was taken in Switzerland. He goes, he has a house in Gstaad, which is a city of Switzerland. He goes there with his kids every year, three times a year, for all holidays, in open eyes of everybody. All the American police, the Swiss police knows it. Of course he was not under disguise. He was not under... He's not like, an escaping Nazi.
But what? Is it your position that statutory rape of a 13-year-old girl is not a crime, shouldn't be a crime?
Of course it is a crime. Of course it is a crime. And I would have been, in 77, really shocked. For me, the respect of the children, the respect of the kids is a holy principle. Of course, there was a deal in 77. The victim herself decided a few years after to withdraw her complaint, her plane. So what happens today? Why today? Why suddenly going to receive an award in the Zurich Festival, waited by the police and the Minister of Culture of Switzerland?
And into
this
jail.
Is a farce.
Here's tape out of Switzerland this week, filmmaker Christian Frey talking about Polanski's arrest at the Zurich Film Festival, where he was to have received a Lifetime Achievement Award.
As a Swiss filmmaker, I feel deeply ashamed, because Mr. Polanski was supposed to be honored this evening. We were supposed to speak about his work, his career, and his outstanding films, and now he's being arrested in Switzerland.
And here's an interview from way back, Roman Polanski himself sitting down with Diane Sawyer, then a co-anchor of ABC's Turning Point, talking about what was on his mind the day he raped 13-year-old Samantha Gailey, now Geimer.
I know now it was not the right thing to do, but it was, there was no premeditation, you know, it was something that just happened.
Geraldine Ferraro, no premeditation. I'm not sure about if the record would really show that, but you hear the Swiss filmmaker Christian Frey saying he's deeply ashamed of Polanski's arrest. There is a sharply different view from your own. What do you make of it, Ms. Ferraro?
You know, what happens is you have an entire industry, which I find absolutely appalling, put their arms around this man, and it's not as if it's starting now. The only thing that they're really annoyed about is that finally, the American government is in a position where we can get this man brought back here to answer for a crime that he committed. It hasn't been delayed this long because the U.S. was not ready to prosecute. It's been delayed this long because he fled California, and he has lived a charmed life for the past, 30 years? You know, the other point that was made by Bernard was that, you know, the victim has said that she doesn't want to pursue this. This is not her choice. Our American law, our criminal law in the United States, doesn't leave the determination on things like murder, rape, or any of these things up to the victim, especially statutory rape. Statutory rape, that statute is meant to protect children. And nobody can turn around and say, well, you know, I want to withdraw my complaint. The child, the 13-year-old, obviously was examined and obviously had all of her information presented to the grand jury, as well as the circumstances surrounding her rape. And so, you know, it is not a choice. I feel, you know, someone said, you know, he's done extremely well since he has been, you know, in Switzerland, that perhaps this did hurt him a little bit. Gee, if he had come back and responded immediately, he could have gone over there and done everything he wanted to do. And if he would have been an even better director, I find that difficult to believe, because I'm one of those people who saw The Pianist and thought it was an absolutely incredible film. Mm. But, you know, so what? So what? Who do we let get away with this type of crime? Now a director, next time a movie star. How about different types of people? I mean, suppose Madoff had been really smart, like Polanski, and had said, "Oh well, I'm just not going to deal with this thing. This is going to hit me in the face. Let me take a couple of $1 billion and go over to France. And as long as I invest in their economy, you know, and if as long as I get some people who are terrific, he said, I should be okay for at least 20, 25 years.
Should we have let him go? Bernard-Henri Lévy, how about it? Are you saying that because he's an artist, he shouldn't be pursued here strictly because time has passed, even though he jumped away from his original sentence? I mean, how do you justify the free Roman Polanski call?
Of course not, because he's an artist. To be an artist does not give any right. It gives duty, and duty to be more exemplary than anyone. So definitely not because he is an artist. I say that he has to be freed, number one, because he is an... Number one, because the crime of which he is indicted is a huge crime, but please, let's keep reasonable. It is not a crime against humanity, and it is not comparable, as it was said in the beginning of the program, with the crime of Sharon Tate being not only killed but put into pieces by Charles Manson. This is the first thing. Of course, it is a big crime, but it is not the biggest crime in the earth. And I can tell you one thing. We might face, you American, us European, the situation in which the murderer of Sharon Tate will be out of jail at the very moment when Roman Polanski will go in jail. And this will be a shame. Charles Manson, yes, he will go out of jail when Roman Polanski will get in jail. This could be the rather paradoxical situation. Number two, 32 years is a big piece of time. It is a life. Roman Polanski, I know him. He is a quiet, peaceful father of family with kids of 16 and 7 years, married with a calm life. There is in any civilized society a law, a principle, which is that after 30 years, especially when the victim says, okay, time has passed, I'm not a victim any longer, I forgive, there is a time for forgiveness. And number three, what I think is that all this manhunt of today, why was it not done 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? All these newspapers who put articles in their front page saying he has to pay, he has to go to jail. Why suddenly you American, us French, we celebrated him. We went to Chinatowns, his movie. We gave him all the biggest awards. Nobody said anything. Everybody knew everything. Today, it is as if somebody, which is a judge seeking for his re-election, and the Swiss government, which has some problem with America, they have decided, like on a stage, to put the light, the big light, like in a hunt. They put the big light in the land. And everybody, all of us, journalists, public intellectuals, politicians, we go in the hunt. And everybody has his opinion. He is guilty. This story is ridiculous from beginning, from top to toes.
Can I just interrupt for a minute?
Ms. Ferraro, yes?
The thing that Bernard seems to get caught up with is that 30 years. I don't know what the French law is, but I certainly wouldn't, as an American, tell the French that, you know, this is ridiculous, whatever it is. I also have to tell you that as a mother of somebody who sent her daughter to a school in our exchange program when my daughter was 15, God, if I had known how lax they were with reference to some of this stuff, I wouldn't have done it.
You mean sent her to Europe, to France?
She went for a semester, and I took a French girl here. And her daughter is now 13. Warning, do not send your kid over there, because look at how lax people are about this issue.
David Carr, if I may, what do you make of this stark difference of perspective here? We've got Bernard-Henri Lévy and Geraldine Ferraro, but they're not the only ones who could manifest this difference. What do you make of it?
I think we should be really careful about pathologizing an entire country. Relevant polls suggest that 70% of regular folks in France think Mr. Polanski needs to come back and finish facing charges in the U.S. And I admire Bernard-Henri for coming to the phone and defending Mr. Polanski, because it was my job the other day to call some of these people on the position that took positions in his favor, and nobody would come to defend him, in part because people are beginning to realize, as they look into the facts of the case, that it's sort of ugly. And part of what's going on, I think, is that people are reacting to myths, not what really is, not what is in the law. What is in the law is the age of consent is 16 years old, and Mr. Polanski pled guilty to it, and it's been something of a Rorschach for various parts of the culture to look at this case and see very, very different things.
Let me turn to our listeners. They've got views here aplenty. Tamara in Naples, Florida. Tamara, you're on the air with quite a panel. What do you think, Tamara?
Hi, Tom. Yes, I've been listening intently, and Mr. Polanski is not some romantic figure like Jean Valjean from Les Misérables who stole a loaf of bread. This man raped a 13-year-old girl, and I feel very strongly that this is a nation of laws. We cannot put anyone, whether you're a luminary for political reasons or aesthetic reasons, above the law, and I think he knew very well what he did was wrong. He admitted that it was wrong, and now it's time for him to serve his time.
Bernard Henry, what do you say to this American perspective from Florida? This is not Les Miserables. This is not Jean Valjean. This is a rapist, says Tamara.
I agree, but I think that if he was not Roman Polanski, he would not be hunted today. It is not because he's Roman Polanski that he is protected. It is the reverse. If he was Mr. Nobody, everybody would have forgotten him, and you would not have a judge in California deciding for his own re-election to go to fetch him. So there is not a privilege for celebrity. It is exactly the reverse. I ask you, madam, to quote me, to try to Google that. Quote me one man who raped a girl 32 years ago, only one, and who is refound today and brought to the trial today. Give me one anonymous guy. I'm sure you will not find one. And it's a bet. And I agree to come back to this micro to discuss with you. You will not find it. It is because he's Roman Polanski.
But what about
he's a star.
What about Geraldine Ferraro's observation that perhaps the French are lax or casual about sexual crimes imposition against young people, young girls? Are you casual? Are you lax about that? Is this a... Do you not take that crime seriously?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
No, the sexual crimes, if it was done to my own daughter, thanks God, I hope it never happened, I would become mad. I would be able of anything. It is a crime. That is clear, and we should not banalize the crime. Of course not. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that. I'm just saying that we are facing a real manhunt with a guy to whom everybody, in a way, I don't say it is right, but since 30 years, everybody had forgiven. When you gave him Oscar, when we gave him Palme d'Or at Festival de Cannes, when he went on all these festivals with crowds applauding yeah. him, who was speaking of this terrible crime of 77? Nobody. And nobody. Why? Because the victim said, I don't care, I forgive, whatever. But the scandal and the shame is that suddenly, today, for political reason, for real politic agreements between Switzerland and America, there is a U-turn on that. And he came candidly to Zurich to receive this award of achievement yeah. of his life, yeah. and he was taken by police. Mm. This is a scandal.
Geraldine Ferraro, is there a kind of hypocrisy here? Yes, there were earlier efforts, but they were not exactly relentless to get Roman Polanski. Is there some hypocrisy in coming, you know, full bore at him now when he's 76 years old, a quiet family man, as Bernard Henri Lévy says?
Well, let me just make one comment. First of all, on something Bernard asked Tamara, she said, give me one other instance where someone has waited 31 years. She can't, I can't, and I don't think anybody else can, because what happens is as soon as somebody takes a plea, as soon as somebody is convicted in this country, they are marched off to jail. They don't have an opportunity to abscond the way Polanski did. So that's number one. Number two, he has led a charmed life for 31 years. he has said to himself, you know, that was not such a good idea.
So what?
So he
had a charm lamp, and he gave dream to all the movie lovers all over the world. He gave pleasure
to millions of people. But that's an absolution.
That's not the issue. That
it is,
not
an absolution. No, no. But charming life is not a guiltiness. I answer to the fact that you seem to consider having a charming life as a sort of additional guiltiness. So
no,
I say no.
No. I'm not saying that.
Okay. Sounds like it.
Thank you.
He has lived a charmed life for 31 years. I think it's great that he has a great relationship with his children and everything else. I wonder how he would feel if someone had done the same thing to his daughter when she was 13. You know, those are the issues that you come up with. The law is the law in this country, and it is written to protect children. And people who are little girls who are 13 years old are children throughout this country.
Let me get a call from Alan, Salt Lake City, Utah. Alan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Just an observation here. Mr. Polanski has been on the run, so to speak, for 32 years. He's not the first criminal who's been on the run for 32 years.
They're not exactly hiding, as Bernard Levy points out.
Right. He is not hiding, but he has been watched. But it also happens to be, recently here in Salt Lake, a person was found who committed a murder 20 years ago. They've now brought him into the court system. We have criminals that disappear, and they are found decades later, and we do bring them into the court system. In this case, unfortunately for Mr. Polanski, he is a notable person, so he is more into the public eye, and we finally got the opportunity to nab him. I don't believe this is the first time the United States has tried to bring him back. But
do you hear a French perspective here, Alan, or not? Is this just
You know, interesting enough, I have lived in France, and I'm fourth-generation French. But I don't bring that into the perspective. Mm-hmm. I guess I bring this in as we go after criminals all over.
And you've had the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping and rape case sort of in your own backyard out that way, Alan, lately.
That's been very much front-page news here for the past week, especially with what happened yesterday.
So you think Polanski put himself in public, put himself in the headlines, he deserves to be picked up?
It was more of, if he would have quietly disappeared and never would have been in the public like some criminals, he may never have been picked up.
Alan, thanks for calling. David Carr, does the charmed life piece factor in? I don't know if you make a moral equation here as a reporter, David, but what do you make of that part? People watch the awards ceremony.
I'm a moral and ethical eunuch because I'm a journalist, but the thing is he had a chance to come and settle up. There were conversations back and forth in 02, 06, 07, but they all required Mr. Polanski coming to the United States, which is something that he was unwilling to do. And the fact that he could not have absolute assurance that he would not serve further jail time only equates him with every other defendant in America. If you read the pre-sentencing, he is told over and over that no agreements are in place, that he will be sentenced at the discretion of the judge.
David Carr, stand by if you would. We have to take a short break. Geraldine Ferraro, Bernard Henri Lévy, this is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. Here's a trailer from a 2008 documentary called Roman Polanski, Wanted and Desired. The documentary covers the scandal and Polanski's years in exile. It's been called whitewashed by its critics, but even so, the documentary may have helped prompt his arrest by drawing attention to the scandal. Among the voices you'll hear, that of his victim, now Samantha Geimer, speaking as an adult.
He didn't perceive having intercourse with a 13-year-old girl is against the law.
The fact of Polanski leaving the country seems to have eclipsed what actually happened to the system of justice.
The judge was enjoying the publicity, and he didn't care about what happened to me, and he didn't care about what happened to Polanski.
Not much to tell you, except that I'm innocent.
All right. Rittenband was known as a hammer. He was a tough sentencer. If you didn't make a deal, you were in trouble.
In France, he's desired, and in America, he's wanted.
There's one movie, a documentary. Here is the classic scene from the closing moments of Roman Polanski's classic 1974 movie Chinatown. Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway on screen. Big trouble, and the partner, cop, says, let it go.
Go home, Jake. I'm doing you a favor. Come on, Jake. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. We're at 1-800-423-8255. D in Columbia, South Carolina. You're on the air with a quite illustrious panel. What do you think, D?
I'm shaking. I'm so angry. Your French guest seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth. But what I find appalling is the hubris of celebrity. It's the double standard that exists for the haves and have-nots. And that somehow, because he has been given accolades and awards, I personally have boycotted his films forever. I will not participate in those accolades. And when your French guest is talking about, we've given him awards, we've done all these things, well, who votes on that? Celebrities. And they circle the wagons, and for some reason, there's a double standard in this country that there is no shame attached to celebrity, that you are above the law, that you have a different set of rules by which you are enabled to live. And there are an awful lot of people sitting in jail, and rightfully so, because of this very same crime, who did not have the aura of celebrity that enabled them to abscond.
Let me put it, if I may, to our French guest and celebrity, Bernard-Henri Lévy. You hear the accusation, the hubris of celebrity, Bernard-Henri, the double standard of haves and have-nots, celebrities above the law. You're a celebrity. Does that make you look at this differently? 70% of French in an online poll said he should be in jail.
Wait a minute. First of all, thanks to the lady who just spoke, at least she's consistent. Mm-hmm. She says that that Polanski is ashamed today, and that he was ashamed yesterday, and that she did not give him a award and she boycotted his films.
Yes.
If I understood well. This, at least, is consistent. Thank you. My problem is those people who not only gave the awards, but who made him a world star, and this is not only his co-celebrities, it is the average people of America and of Europe, and who today suddenly organize this manhunt. Now, is there a double standard? Of course not. It is the reverse. It is because he is a celebrity that he has been catched, he has been caught today, because he is a celebrity. If he was not a celebrity, he would be an old father of family, forgotten by everyone, hiding himself in somewhere in Europe or in Asia, and he will be quiet. It is because he's a celebrity that there is this problem. What the situation is, what? You have a great justice in America, a great system of justice, independent from the political power. But the reverse is that it depends on the average people. And the judge who is indicted him today, he's at the verge of his re-election. So he had a star, he had a celebrity in his radar, in his look, in his gaze, and he decided to take him because of political purpose. Not on the other side, a little arm wrestling between America and Switzerland. You know on what? Ugly and sordid money problems. Mm-hmm. Polanski is paying also this political plot, too.
I want to put that to Geraldine Ferraro, but let me just, if I may, first, Divikar, just for a minute, this issue of a double standard for celebrity. I mean, that's a world you know well. You write about media and culture and arts. You hear our caller. She says loud and clear, a double standard here. Haves and have-nots, haves and have-nots, and then maybe a different issue, a double standard for celebrity. Look around, look at history. What do you see, David?
I've covered the Oscars for the past 4 years, and most of these folks live in a bubble of entitlement, and it tends to warp them and make them unclear about where they end and the world begins. And they believe in the end that they can live a life beyond consequence. And I think the caller nicely frames the feeling that most Americans have when they look at that picture. And in terms of Bernard Henri's point that he got nabbed because of his visibility, that was a choice that Mr. Polanski made, just as he made a choice when he left the country. He can both be the victim of a flawed judicial process and guilty of the crime he pled to. These two things don't have to be exclusive, and they need to be resolved in a court of law beyond the pale of celebrity and beyond the pale of 30 years past. It needs to be finished.
Geraldine Ferraro, Bernard Henri has said a few times that this is about the re-election of a judge. I don't know the details of that. The L.A. County top prosecutor said yesterday that it's about completing justice, that justice isn't complete when someone leaves the jurisdiction of the court, which, of course, Polanski did. Are there judicial politics at work here that you can see?
Let me tell you, as somebody who has run for office several times, every time someone runs for office, runs for re-election, or something like this comes up, they say, oh, the other side says they're doing it for the re-election campaign. You know, it's I don't know on what basis Mr. Bernard has made his comments. I mean, I don't know.
But then why do you think it's coming up now?
Well, I think that that's usually an argument that's always poised by the other side. You've got to find something wrong with bringing this man back. And when you think about it, you know, Polanski, and I saw The Pianist because I like Cambodian, because I like the theme of the song. To be quite frank, I didn't know who had directed it.
Okay.
That's not something I look at. Hate to say that to directors, right? But I agree totally with David on this whole thing. When I was in the DA, so when I was first learning about trial cases, they used to say, if you have the facts, you argue the facts. If you don't have the facts, if you have the law, you argue the law. If you don't have either one, you bang on the table. Well, that's what we're hearing now out of France. We're getting a lot of banging on the table. I mean, this stuff is, Manson will be released at the same time that he goes in. I wouldn't hold my breath for Manson ever being released from jail. He's there to stay. But I also wonder if indeed Polanski had committed a murder in 31 years ago. Would that have been okay? And the issue is not so much the celebrity community wrapping their arms around him now. They did that from the very minute that he left the United States. I mean, when you get actors saying, you know, he's my close friend, I want to be with him, he's been terrific, they knew when he went over there that, A, he had committed the crime because he admitted to it, if nothing else. But in addition to that, they also knew that he had absconded. Now, tell me, is Hollywood setting an example for this country? I mean, you can go down the line. I'm getting to sound like a conservative instead of the progressive liberal that I am. But, you can go on every single phase, whether it's this type of thing, let him get away with it because it's 31 years and he's proved he's okay. A lot of people in jail have served their time and done it, and they've gone on and had decent lives afterwards, too. But, you know, you turn around and you say even the culture over the past 31 years in Hollywood has given a sense of entitlement to so many people there. This should not be the strawberry on the top of the whipped cream on the top of the sundae.
Bernard, I want to hear you on that, but David Carr, do you see Hollywood sliding on this? I mean, or celebrities generally? I mean, Michael Jackson had his problems. There was Carl Vick and dogfighting. You can go all the way back to Fanny Arbuckle and Ingrid Bergman, for that matter. Do you see
Bill Clinton had the problem. Bill Clinton,
well, yes.
President Bill Clinton.
Yes, he did. David,
and he got in trouble. He got impeached.
Is Hollywood loosening?
Fanny Arbuckle never worked again in a significant or substantial way. Michael Vick went away for 2 years in what was a fairly typical sentence. I do think that eventually the veil of celebrity drops. And people, everybody is the same in a U.S. court of law when they stand before that judge, and people find out quickly that's the case. And you can lawyer up in significant ways, and that can provide you additional defenses, but it eventually comes down to what you did, what a judge or jury thinks of it, and celebrity doesn't end up on the table.
Bernard-Henri Lévy, you said that you were a friend of Roman Polanski. Has he talked about this with you? Has he talked about this case and his sexual crime against this girl and what it's meant in his life, or does he just not mention it, or do you not mention it? It's not polite. You just hang out and that's fine.
I did not say I was his friend.
Oh, sorry.
I did not say that.
Oh, but you knew him personally, I thought you said. Perhaps it's different.
I met him once or twice, but much less than a lot of people. And it is not because he is a friend that I defend him. I am not the other side. I heard Mr. Ferraro saying the other side. I'm not the other side. I think that the abuse of children is a huge crime again. Mm. If it was done to somebody close to me, I would become more than mad. I would be able of anything. I'm not the other side. I ask the question, why today? I make the assertion that it is because he is a celebrity that he is hunted now and not the contrary. And I say that I am fed up, I'm disgusted by this atmosphere of popular trial, of popular tribunal all over the world, not only in America, in France also. Everybody has his opinion on the Polanski case. Mm. How much is he guilty? How long is the prescription? There is a sort of climate of Robespierre mood in France, like in America. Everybody jumping on the case, and there is something of an obscenity. There is something obscene. I heard Mr. Ferraro saying, speculating, and what if he had committed a murder and so on? But please, let's keep cool. He had a misconduct, a terrible misconduct 32 years ago. He's another man. He was celebrated, but not by the celebrities, by the average crowds of all over the world since 32 years. Mm. And today, for political reason, he's taken by police.
Bernard-Henri Lévy. Caroline, Pawleys Island, South Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I actually have to agree with a little bit of Bernard, and I think that there's too much of a manhunt. And I think the big issue here is that this female, this young woman who's now said time has too much passed and this is kind of over. I'm a female also in my 20s, and if I was in the situation, if I thought time was over, I feel like the Americans too much pushing this idea of let's bring him justice. If she's over with it, then I think the issue of it needs to be dropped. And obviously, this judge here is more focused on his re-election and bringing this political issue into sight.
So move on, you say. And there's some sympathy for Bernard-Henri's view. Let's get one more. Andy, Fort Myers, Florida. You're on the air, Andy.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for bringing this issue. You know, I have to say, I didn't know much about Polanski. I didn't give him an Oscar, and I didn't give him an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I agree with Bernard in that I'm surprised he hasn't been brought into custody sooner. Beyond that, I'm sorry, Bernard, you may be an intellectual. I have to say, I think you're an idiot, because the guy committed a crime. You know, the lady said it earlier, we are a nation of laws. And he raped a 13-year-old girl, period. It doesn't matter why he's being brought to justice now. The fact of the matter, he is being brought to justice now. He should be brought to justice doubly so, frankly. You know, 1 year for every year he's absconded from the system. And if he dies in prison, frankly, I would consider that my tax dollars well spent.
Andy, our time is short. Geraldine Ferraro, what about Bernard-Henri Lévy's point? He says hears the footsteps of Robespierre, that there's too much sort of lynch mob, popular tribunal, popular trial atmosphere in the air in France, in the United States, everywhere these days. What
absolutely
do you think?
Not. And one of the things, when he mentioned that I said he was on the other side, it wasn't on the other side of the issue of rape. I understand that he understands that rape of a 13-year-old is a crime. It's the other side of whether or not Polanski should be brought to justice here in the United States. And to be quite frank, you know, when you hear that things like the woman who just called in saying, well, if the victim, you know, doesn't want to proceed, the law is the law. It is over. Her participation in this case was over when she testified before the grand jury, you know, 30-some-odd years ago. You know, the toughest thing is to get a young kid before the grand jury, and I know I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
It is awful for them to relive what has gone through. She did that. That's finished. She doesn't have any right to have any sort of say on whether or not somebody fulfills their sentence or not.
We've got 1 minute. You've been a prosecutor. How much time would you ask
New York, it's a D-felony punishable by up to 7 years in jail.
But it was 90 days when he first went in.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about it is he got a deal. He should have just done it. And I have to tell you, if he had done his time, whatever the time was in California at the time, whatever the plea agreement was, and he obviously got a big plea agreement allowing him to
one charge
to the one charge rather than to the whole indictment. You know, he got his deal. He should have finished it up. Whatever it was, we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
Yeah.
And he could have gone as soon as this was over, he could have gone to France and done everything that he wanted to do, and he would never have had to worry about coming back to the United States.
Well, it's certainly in the headlines now, for better or worse. And we're very grateful to each and every one of you for being with us today to talk about it. Bernard-Henri Lévy, we know you're visiting from France, and we're grateful to you for taking the time. We appreciate your sharing.
Can I say one word?
Yes,
one word again to your listeners.
5 seconds, sir, yes.
I ask one question. I repeat. Could one of the listeners find one case of a man having been guilty of a misconduct?
The question stands. Geraldine Ferraro, David Carr, I'm sorry. We've got to go. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.